Thank you. A couple of people asked me to talk about MBFR, and I guess since Ambassador Wittke mentioned them, we could follow up on his remarks. Ambassador Tickle and Ambassador Ferraris wanted to comment on mutual balance force reduction.
Well, before we advance much further, I just wanted to bring into our discussion two other factors which much affected the thinking of people at the top in the years of the Helsinki process. I, as I say, had to deal with MBFR and I had to deal with NATO matters and indeed to some degree with SALT. And all I can say is that in our discussions there were, as it were, those whose job it was to get on with the CSCE and work out the problems which were going on in Geneva beyond a certain point. But in the background was always the issue of SALT to some degree, but MBFR more directly. And there's a very big distinction between these two sets of negotiations. After the beginning, the CSCE was designed to produce a success. We wanted something which had not been there before. And I think that after a while, all delegations working away in Geneva wanted to produce a final act and to do the things we were talking about this morning, to produce a rather different kind of Europe and bring an end to the rancors of the Cold War. In the case of MBFR, although linked with the CSCE process, it was a very difficult, different process. The United States was under pressure from the Congress, in particular from Senator Mansfield, to reduce its forces. It had a budget crisis, it had a variety of other things, and it wanted to be able to talk to the Eastern Bloc, in such a way that to show that it was serious about wanting to reduce its forces and its military exposure. The West Europeans, on the other hand, were very keen to maintain the US presence in Europe, but they nevertheless were not against reducing forces if it were possible. And so, again, that, on that basis, the negotiations went forward. But I don't think that anyone on the Western side really expected the MBFR negotiations to succeed. It was much more a question of exchanging information and finding out, each side finding out about the other, what the other side's military dispositions were. I remember that we had a particular dispute with Kissinger and Sonnenfeld when they wanted to bring tactical nuclear weapons into MBFR. And we were against that because we wanted, in fact, to keep it concerned only with conventional forces. Some of you may know about the background to that particular dispute, which caused quite a lot of trouble at the time. And so you have one negotiation which is designed to produce a success, the other a negotiation which is being done partly to demonstrate in Washington that we were going to reduce forces, but partly also to find out more about the other side and generally to exchange information about military matters. The CBMs within the Helsinki process were a sort of, I won't say they were a halfway house, but at least they were, in a sense, designed to give a little bit of a military aspect, but not much of one, to the Helsinki process. And they also linked, in a way, to the MBFR. Now, this was going on in the background all the time, and those of us, like myself, who were involved in both processes, inevitably judged one against the other. Every day, you could see how one thing could affect the mentality of the other. But it affected the mentality not of those who were engaged in the Geneva process, nor necessarily those engaged in the Vienna process, but it did concern foreign ministers, defense ministers, and heads of state or government in a way that was not the case further down the hierarchy. The second point I wanted to make before we move on is to pick up something that somebody said about the importance for the Russians of Asia. Now, the word used was East Asia, and I think that so far we've been talking mostly about the importance of what was happening in Vietnam. In fact, there was also the Chinese dimension. And I remember very clearly that when I went to Beijing long afterwards in 1979, And we had talks with Deng Xiaoping, lasting some 3 hours in the Great Hall of the People. He was extremely interested in what the Russians were doing in Europe, because he saw the Europeans as being ultimately the counterpoise of the Russians. And whatever was whatever we were able to do in the Helsinki process, and perhaps in the NBFR process, had an application in the very bad state of relations between Russia and China. Indeed, I remember we had one of our meetings in China in the cellars of a house, or rather in a house whose cellars enabled Mao Zedong to get out in six different directions in case there was a Russian paratroop attack. It was a degree of slight mild paranoia that went on. But anything that concerned the fixing of frontiers in Europe had direct relevance to the fixing of frontiers on the Chinese-Russian border, because the Russians, I think, feared that the Chinese were going to eat away at bits of those Russian frontiers, and all this was relevant. It was in, not necessarily in the text, but it was in people's minds at the time. And I just wanted to recommend those two aspects to you, the military aspect, NBFR, SALT, and so on, and the Chinese aspect, both of which were not directly involved in the negotiations, but helped color the attitudes of heads of state and government, foreign ministers and defense ministers during the whole Helsinki process.